Congress seeks to roll back some regulations, keep Chinese influence out of our schools, and protect our kids from evil gender ideologies. All that and more in today's episode. I'm Joel Whitmire, and this is the Freeman's Podcast. All right, so today we're going to be looking at a couple of different laws that Congress is currently trying to pass. We're going to look at three different things for each law. We're going to look at what the law is, what the bill is, what they're trying to do with the bill. But then we're going to look at how constitutional it is, where it lines up with the founders' intentions of what the Constitution actually meant. And then what we're going to do is we're going to look at the how it fits with a biblical worldview and how it affects you and your liberty and your rights. So the first one we're going to look at today is H.R. 5184. It's the Affordable Homes Act. Now, this has already passed the House of Representatives and is in the Senate. So Affordable Housing Over Mandating Efficiency Standards Act, or the Affordable Homes Act. Now, this bill rescinds the Department of Energy's efficiency regulations applicable to manufactured housing and eliminates the DOE's authority to issue similar regulations. Specifically, the bill rescinds the DOE, the Department of Energy's final rule entitled Energy Conservation Program, Energy Conservation Standards for Manufactured Housing. And it was published on May 30th, 2022. So basically, so far, what this bill is doing is it's taking away the authority of the Department of Energy from issuing regulations that are similar to this one that was passed in 2022. And it completely pulls away, rescinds, gets rid of that final rule that the Department of Energy passed back in 2022. So under the bill, the DOE may provide recommendations to the Department of Housing and Urban Development for revisions to energy conservation standard applicable to manufactured housing. These recommendations must comply with criteria established by the bill, including by being based on the determination of the cost effectiveness of such revision. So I know that was a lot of just sounded like jargon, I'm sure. But basically what this bill does that Congress is trying to pass is basically trying to tell the DOE, hey, you have gone too far with your regulations. We're going to not only pull back that regulation that went too far, but now we're going to eliminate your authority to pass those types of regulations. So far, that actually sounds pretty good. If you, like me, believe that government should be limited and that administrative agencies shouldn't have this authority to pass all these kinds of these regulations without our consent, then it's a good thing. But let's actually look at what the Constitution says and how this bill would line up with the Constitution. So in our Constitution, Article 1, Section 8 lays out 18 things that the federal government is allowed to do. Now, you can definitely say that there are some other things that it's allowed to do, but those tend to be focused on how internal issues with the federal government. But these 18 powers that the federal government has been given from us, the people, by our founding fathers, these 18 powers are listed in Article 1, Section 8. And it's very important that you get this because that is where everything that the federal government is supposed to do is listed right there. It's pretty simple. Now, within these 18 powers, there are three powers that I would call the problem children. The problem children. And they are the spending clause, which is in the first power. It's in that first power. And then there's the commerce clause, and then that's commerce clause. And then the third one is the necessary and proper clause. Now, not to keep using, you know, the clauses, because the Constitution can be really confusing for a lot of people. What I think would be helpful is if you saw these 18 powers as levers. These are things that the federal government is allowed to do. Yes, it's good and right. You do this, you do that. You can pull these levers all day long, no issues. The first lever and the last lever, those are focused on helping the other 16 levers all function the way they're supposed to. The first lever is where the power to tax and then spend for paying the debt, providing for the defense and the general welfare, that's where that's housed. Now, why that one is a problem child for these powers is because that particular clause in our Constitution, the federal government over the years has said, oh, we can spend for the general welfare and we, Congress, get to decide what the general welfare is. But according to James Madison, the guy who actually wrote our Constitution, he argued that no, Congress doesn't get to decide what the spending clause is, what the general welfare is. The rest of the powers in the Constitution, that's what the general welfare is. So yes, Congress can spend money for the general welfare, but only the general welfare that's contained in what's talked about in the Constitution, specifically in the remaining 17 powers. Now, the Commerce Clause, the reason it's an issue and where our federal government has gotten out of hand with that is that it has what the Commerce Clause states is that Congress has the power to regulate commerce among the several states. And over the years, the courts and Congress has taken that to mean, oh, we can regulate all commerce. Doesn't matter if it's in localized situations within states, we can do it all. But originally, what the founders intended was, if the federal government is allowed to regulate commerce or business, specifically selling and buying, that takes place in more than one state. And that's all it meant from our founders' point of view. Not that they can regulate everything that has to do with business, but only those things that have to do with buying and selling with more than one state. And as you can imagine, and as you, I'm sure you've experienced, federal government goes way beyond that and is regulating just about everything under the sun. And the last one is the Necessary and Proper Clause. Now, what this means is that the federal government has the power to make all laws and regulations that are necessary and proper for those other 17 powers that came before, and only those 17 powers. It doesn't have the power to make any laws and regulations that are necessary and proper for anything that they think they're supposed to do. It is only for those 17 powers. And this has been used by our federal government, by Congress over the years, to where they can say, oh no, it's necessary and proper for the general welfare, and we get to define what the general welfare is. So, going back to the bill, H.R. 5184, Affordable Homes Act. Now, how does that mesh up with these 18 powers listed in the federal, in our Constitution, Article 1, Section 8, all those 18 powers? How does it line up? How does that bill line up with these powers? So, within our Constitution, those 18 powers, there is no power to regulate energy anywhere within our within the Constitution. So if there's no power to directly regulate energy, then what they might be doing is using the Commerce Clause, but that wouldn't work either because of the reasons I just explained. The Commerce Clause is supposed to be those things, buying and selling, that takes place between more than one state. So they can't be using the Commerce Clause to justify them passing this type of bill or to have the Department of Energy in the first place. But Congress, as I mentioned, has the Necessary and Proper Clause. And that is what I think they're trying to use to justify passing this bill. And in this case, using power to roll back the authority of an administrative agency is a good thing, and it is necessary and proper for them to do that. So the founders would have been appalled that we have given so much power to the federal government, that we have allowed it to go this far. In my generation, and generations before us, some of them, this has happened way before them. But a lot of these things just keep happening, and we just keep letting it happen. If you, the people, think the federal government should have the power to regulate energy with the Department of Energy or something like that, then a constitutional amendment has to pass. They can't just keep passing laws about energy because there's nowhere in the Constitution, the Commerce Clause doesn't do it, and the Necessary and Proper Clause doesn't even give them the power to regulate energy. So if you want them to regulate energy, then you have to pass a constitutional amendment. Otherwise, it's arbitrary tyranny. That's what it is. It is unjust. So how is this specific bill, though, if it's pulling back some of these regulations, which is a great thing, how is it lining up? How does it affect us as a people with our rights and liberty under God? So if Congress can use the power we have given it to create administrative agencies like the Department of Energy, and then that department can make rules and regulations that have the force of law without our consent, then how free are we? A fundamental maxim of freedom is that no one may infringe upon your liberty without your consent, or you aren't really free. So the biblical worldview would show that government should be limited and should abide by the rule of law, not the rule of experts like those in administrative agencies. Deuteronomy 17, 14 through 20 is one of the passages that really hammers in the idea of the rule of law, that the king, or we can take that as a metaphor, a principle to talk about government, has to abide by God's law in the Old Testament. And I would say in our country, our governing officials have to abide by the law of the Constitution. And if the Constitution doesn't give our federal government the power to regulate energy, then yes, a bill like this to pull back some of those regulations is good. But what really needs to happen is a law needs to come forward to demolish the Department of Energy, and or if the people want their government to be able to regulate energy, then a constitutional amendment has to pass. We can't keep going back and forth. We can't keep having it both ways. We either have to do it by the Constitution or change the Constitution to allow it. We cannot keep letting them go by the whims of experts. It's got to be done by the rule of law, or we're not really free. So that's the first law we're going to look at tonight. The second law would be H.R. 1069, Protect Our Kids Act. Now, this has passed the House of Representatives as well, and it is now in the Senate, and it has been for a little while now. So this law, it's Promoting Responsible Oversight to Eliminate Communist Teaching for Our Kids Act, or the Protect Our Kids Act. And I love how they spell out this huge thing to come up with some kind of acronym to make it sound good, like Protect Our Kids Act, which, once you find out what it is, it's like, oh yeah, that's not a bad name for it. So this bill prohibits the federal education funding for any elementary or secondary school that directly or indirectly receives support from the Chinese government. I like this policy so far. This is great. Specifically, the bill prohibits such funding for any school that, one, has a partnership in effect with a cultural or language institution funded by the Chinese government, including a Confucian Institute, or two, operates a learning center supported by the Chinese government, commonly referred to as Confucius Classroom, or three, receives support from an individual or entity acting on behalf of the Chinese government, including support in the form of teaching materials, personal funds, or other resources. However, the Department of Education may issue a waiver of the prohibition if a school has an existing contract with one of these entities and the school demonstrates that the contract is for the benefit of the school and promotes the security, stability, and economy of the United States. The bill directs the Department of Education to provide notice of the bill's requirements to schools as well as guidance for achieving compliance with the requirements. So far, what we're seeing in this bill is that it's trying to protect our kids from communist Chinese influence in our schools. And apparently, there are a lot of schools that are taking funding or getting direct influence or are setting up these Confucius institutes that are directly influenced by the Chinese Communist Party. And this bill is saying no more federal funds from the Department of Energy if your schools are going to allow this Chinese influence. Now, how does this mesh up with our Constitution? We've already been over how the Constitution sets in Article 1, Section 8, the 18 powers the federal government is allowed to do. And there's this three problem child ones that the federal government uses to abuse their power. Now, for this one, though, the federal government does not have the power to regulate education, period. There is no mention of the federal government. You can go set up educational systems. You can go set up standards or regulations, or you can go fund education in the states. There's nothing like that in our Constitution. Now, Trump wanting to close the Department of Education, in my opinion, is great. It needs to go because these administrative agencies that are making rules and regulations, again, that have the force of law, that they are able to fine you and even imprison you in some cases, and this is all taking place. They're able to do this without our consent. These types of administrative agencies have got to go. Now, Congress does have the power to provide for the common defense. That's in the spending power in Article 1, Section 8, Clause 1. And if you want to go look it up, it's Congress has the power to tax and then spend to pay off debt and provide for the common defense. Now, I would say removing Chinese influence from the United States education system is a way to defend the United States. I do not believe that it is constitutional, though, for the federal government to use taxpayer money to fund public schools. And I especially do not believe it is I do believe that it is unjust to offer money that came from the people in the first place back to the states, but only if they accept certain programs or policies. I think that is completely unjust, and it is unconstitutional. Oh, we're going to tax the people, and then we'll give it back to your states, but only if you accept these policies and programs. I am in complete agreement with this, with stopping China from having influence in our schools, and I think it's a great policy. And Congress does have the power to defend, and they have the responsibility to defend the country. But doing this from funding or not funding a school is outside its constitutional jurisdiction. And so the way they're going about this policy that I completely agree with, it's unconstitutional. Congress doesn't have the power, not just Congress, the federal government does not have the power constitutionally to fund or defund schools whether based on whether or not they will accept certain policies or not. So how does this affect our liberty and our rights, and how, what does it look like from a biblical worldview? Again, while I love this policy, defending the country from Chinese influence, especially protecting our kids, the way that our federal government is trying to do this, that they're trying to enact this into law, I believe it is unconstitutional. So a question about it, if you're thinking I'm off my rocker, but think about this. What if this same method was used by the federal government to push gender ideologies or different things in our kids that we completely fundamentally disagree with? And they're saying, hey, we're going to give you taxpayer funding, but you have to accept these ideologies. They've already done this in the past. This method can't continue, even for good policies. If we allow the federal government to implement good policies using a method that is outside its constitutional jurisdiction, we are inviting bad policies to be made into law, and we are allowing for the policy use of arbitrary power. Either way, it is lawlessness and will cause harm, not good. I think that this lines up with the biblical worldview, and it shows that we should be ruled by laws and not by the whims of whoever's in power, even if they are the right types of people, and even if they're trying to do something, a good policy, but it's not by law. See, what I think the solution for this is that states should take steps to remove Chinese influence from our schools. They should protect our kids. And they should stop passing that responsibility off to unelected bureaucrats in the federal administrative agencies. In this case, the Department of Education. And I think another thing is Congress has the power and the authority and the responsibility to defend the United States from China. So I think they could just pass a different kind of law to ban Chinese influence from our schools. And maybe that's unpopular, but it's the exact same thing. It's just done constitutionally. So that was our second law. Second bill in Congress right now. Our third one we're going to look at tonight is H.R. 498, Do No Harm in Medicaid Act. All right, so this one has already passed the House. It's in the Senate. And again, they have been. It seems like the House of Representatives is really cranking out some laws right now, but the Senate isn't doing a whole lot. Go figure, the Senate is supposed to be a slower deliberating body, and that's okay. Now, the Do No Harm in Medicaid Act. This bill prohibits federal Medicaid payment for specified gender transition procedures for individuals under the age of 18. The bill defines these procedures to mean those that are intended to change the body of an individual to no longer correspond to the individual's biological sex, male or female, including specified surgeries, implants, and medications, that is, like hormones. The bill excludes procedures that are provided to an individual under the age of 18 with the consent of a parent or legal guardian and that are intended to 1. Rectify early puberty, genetic disorder, or chromosomal abnormalities. I'm sorry, I have a little trouble with that word. And 2. Reverse prior gender transition procedures, or 3. Prevent imminent death or impairment of a major bodily function. Okay. So this is a policy I personally think is good, that the protecting of our kids from being transitioned under the age of 18 is a good thing. Protecting our kids from having body parts chopped off before they're 18. I don't think it should ever happen. I think people need help, but especially before they are 18, it should never happen. And passing a law like that is a good thing. But let's see how this lines up with the Constitution. So, again, Article 1, Section 8. I'm going to sound like a broken record as we keep doing this. That is where the power for our federal government. That's where they get it. That's what defines their limits. That's what defines what they're allowed to do. There's 18 powers in Article 1, Section 8. Now, Congress doesn't have the power to fund something like Medicaid. It doesn't. There's nothing in the Constitution that gives the authority to Congress or the federal government to fund something like Medicaid. The Commerce Clause doesn't give it. The Spending Clause doesn't give it to them. Now, I'm sure they'll argue, no, we have the power to spend for the general welfare. But the general welfare is, again, those remaining 17 powers that come after that first power. And there's nothing in that to talk about Medicaid. So those general welfare doesn't include Medicaid or things like that. So the ability that Congress has to give or withhold taxpayer funds from a state in order to get that state to accept a policy can and has been used to push destructive policies on the people in the past, including the opposite of this policy, to push that they should teach things like gender ideologies and gender affirming care to our kids. Those policies have come by means of saying, hey, taxpayer funds, we'll give it to you if you accept these policies. We can't keep doing this even with a great policy like this to protect our kids. I love the policy that this bill is promoting. No money should go to transition a minor ever, but I can't agree with the method because it can be used for an evil purpose and we just don't need to keep doing this cycle. The federal government should not have this power. States should take back their responsibility to protect the people and especially the children of their states from these evil medical gender ideologies. In your state, get your state to pass laws to stop the transitioning of minors, people under 18. And again, I don't think anybody should. That's just where I'm coming from a biblical worldview, as I'm about to get into. So how this affects your liberty and writes from a biblical worldview, how is it going to affect you and your community? So God created two genders, male and female. That's in Genesis 1 and 2. He created us in his image. There's only two genders. Anything that teaches and then allows for children to be mutilated in the name of any other kind of gender ideology is evil. It's evil. Children must be protected. God has charged government in Romans 13 to be his servant for our good and to punish evil and promote good and to protect people, protect their rights and liberty, and specifically their life and their life made in the image of God, the way God designs their life to be. The government is supposed to protect that right. In our system of government, the authority to protect our children is not in the federal government. It's in the states. Letting the federal government use a power that is not given to it in the Constitution will only grow the lawless use of arbitrary power. And that is where a lot of evil comes from whoever's in power. But we know that the same method has been used to push evil policies in the past. And this has got to stop. It's lawlessness. And I believe that what God wants for government and for us is the rule of law. And this just isn't cutting it. All right, so those are our three bills that are right now currently making their way through Congress. There's the first one here that we went over is, lost it. There it is. H.R. 5184, the Affordable Homes Act. That's where they're pulling back some regulations, which is a good thing. But I think they need to go further and start removing some of these administrative agencies. And yeah, that might be a long shot, but we got to start talking about it, guys. We can't just keep letting them get away with their lawless use of the Constitution. Then the second bill that we looked at was H.R. 1069, Protect Our Kids Act. That's where they're pulling funding out of schools who are promoting Chinese influence or allowing Chinese influence. Again, I don't think that the federal government has the power to use funds as leverage to get our states to accept a policy or not. It needs to be that the states will protect our kids from Chinese influence, and or the federal government having the responsibility to defend the country should protect and just ban Chinese influence in our schools. And finally, the last bill that we looked at, because it's not law yet, the last bill we looked at was H.R. 498, Do No Harm in Medicaid Act. And again, this policy to protect our kids from trans from being transitioned as a minor is a good policy, but it needs to come from the states because the federal government doesn't have the authority to make that kind of law, and it doesn't have the authority from our Constitution to fund something like Medicaid. And again, if they are going to use taxpayer money to fund schools, or say, if you don't take our policies, we're not funding you, then they can do that for other policies that we all don't agree with. So this has got to stop. This lawlessness has got to stop. We need the rule of law that lines up with the biblical worldview. It lines up with the way God wants us. God wants for all societies, all cultures, all governments. So I hope you guys found this helpful. I hope that you would, if you did find it helpful, I hope that you would like, subscribe, share it with a friend, hit that bell so you can get notifications for new episodes coming your way. Thanks, guys. God bless.